Hi, this is Glenn Campbell, and you're listening to Mark Coppola on the station that sounds great to me, 88.3 Southern FM.
Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea winds blowing.
So I've got lots more guests tonight, and on my last show, I've got next Walter Mussolino, and he's from Man City Sirens. He's a vocalist, guitarist, and keyboard player in the band, and they've got a new song out that we're going to talk about in a minute, but first let's have a listen to one of their hits called Do 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 It. Do it. And Walter, welcome to 88.3 Southern FM.
Thank you very much. And I hear that we're going to be doing it now too.
That's right. I think that beginning of that track would have had a few dogs barking at home when they heard that track, that opening.
Yes. Molly, our colleague, joins in and she helps me. She's taught me everything I know as far as howling goes.
Okay. Yeah, so look, the first thing I've got to ask you is Man City Sirens. It's not the name that would would come to mind as for a new band name. How did that come about?
It was a suggestion from our producer with the previous record label that we were with, Melodic Music. There was a band apparently doing a national tour of Australia called Meow Kapow, and we were called Kapow Dolores, and he said, maybe you want to think about a name change. Not that I thought we were going to go anywhere. So I went away and thought about it and wrote down about 400 band names, and none of the others liked some of the names that I was particularly fond of, like the Yarn Palak band, which was a reference back to, 1968, when that young Czech guy immolated himself in front of the Russian tanks coming into Czechoslovakia. And then I thought of J.S. Sebastian, because I love a combination of Sebastian from, Blade Runner, the guy who makes the little toys, and also J.S. Bach. Nobody liked that either. And poetry, because I love poetry. Oh, they said, no, stop it. That sounds girly and silly. And then I was just driving around and in despair, and I thought, Man City Sirens.
Wow.
But for me, it's got nothing to do with soccer. I've been finding that out since then.
Okay. If I can just tell you a very quick story. I've been playing guitar in bands forever, and one of the first bands that I played in went somewhere, sort of, no recording contract, but anyway, we came up with our name Soundwaves. We thought that was pretty cool. This is back in the 70s, mind you.
And
we thought, that's not too bad. And so we had our first gig all booked at the Hawthorne Town Hall for an MLC annual dance, and thought, great. And the drummer turned up, and he'd printed on the drum skin Crimson Ink. And that was it. The name, we were stuck with that name for the next 3 years. So, and yeah, it's funny with band names, anyway.
Well, I prefer Crimson Ink, actually. It's pretty inspired.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Take his side. Go on. That's all right. Anyway, look, your band has been described as follows. Someone described you as the band as this. They are not your typical Australian indie rock band. They combine a unique blend of British rock meeting 17th and 18th century Italian arias meeting 60s lyrical pop. Well, that certainly makes you guys different than the average garage band or something, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Look, a couple of us have played in school bands and orchestras. I used to play E-flat tenor horn and trumpet in the school orchestra. I think Rick, our bass player, plays trumpet as well. He's in a concert band, the Chelsea Concert Band. David, the lead guitarist, played bassoon in the school orchestra and in various ensembles, and he plays guitar now. He plays piano as well. I studied piano, classical guitar, and Mardo, our drummer, he can play drums, percussion, guitar, harmonica. It's really embarrassing. And he sings as well. We have to contain him a little bit.
Yeah.
We've got all these influences, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a very talented band you've got there. It's,
yeah, there's a lot of musicality even in the drumming. But, for myself, for the last 10 years I've been studying with the seventh singing teacher I've had, Antonio Maria Lancuba in South Melbourne. I've been studying classical music, and I've had a couple of teachers, ladies from the conservatorium at Melbourne as well, Stephen Grant, who uses the Feldenkrais method. I've also studied with a guy called Peter Vox and others in the contemporary area. And I think all the things that I was brought up with, which have mainly to do with the music that my mum liked from the 60s and 70s, which I wasn't allowed to listen to, and I had to listen to opera, all of that's gone into a melting pot. So, I'm singing. I've sung for Bob Maguire as well in his church quite a few times when he was still the parish priest down in South Melbourne. And so I do little arias for him, whether it was Christmas or Easter. And I still do those, and I love them. And that kind of filters through into a sort of classical movement in the melodies. And there are so many other influences. I love Bach and Vivaldi. The Baroque period, you know, even Mozart imitated a little bit of the Baroque. I like Mozart so much as well. But the Beatles, the 60s have got that melodic kind of simplicity, but playfulness, cuteness about them. Mm. It's a bit of escapism. I like that too. It's kind of sexy and genteel. And yeah, then it comes back even in the angst of bands like Radiohead and the Cranberries. And even that kind of gospel-y type of singing of Jeff Buckley's.
Well, you mentioned...
And there's the anger of the punks, too.
Well, you mentioned about classical music and the Beatles. Ringo's famous quote at their prime was, he said, I love Beethoven, especially his poems. So that's Ringo's sense of humour. But look, you guys formed in 2013, and you produced two EPs, Avalanche of Debutantes and Exodus of Dreams. So you come up with interesting names. You obviously like the English language, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I used to be a university lecturer, and I specialised in philosophy and literature from the medieval ages and in the modern and postmodern era. Yeah, but being an only son, I spent my time either reading, drawing, playing music, writing, that sort of stuff. So yeah, I love the Italian language, the French language, which were two languages I grew up with, and then English, which I learned here. Yeah, I love playing with language. I love playing with the music, and I love playing with the guys that I play with. They're an awesome bunch of brothers, if I may say so.
And you mentioned before Walter about the about mixing different styles into a melting pot. I had the great pleasure of interviewing one of my music heroes, Jeff Lynne from Electric Light Orchestra, and you know, that's exactly what he did. He took his classical learnings and mix them in with pop, and ended up with the Electric Light Orchestra, who had all sorts of orchestral instruments in it, and pop, and guitars, and piano. So he was way ahead of the pack, instead of just doing another, you know, four piece rock and roll band or whatever.
That's what makes music fascinating, when everything that you have been, everything that preceded you, comes together in you, and you don't even understand the why of it, but you realise that it's not important to understand the why, that all you've got to know is how it comes about, and you just follow the leader. Yeah. And yeah, sometimes people say, how did you come up with a particular chord? And I don't really want to think about it too much. Mm. The real answer is, it feels right, and feeling is where our real intelligence lies, you know, emotional intelligence. If you start analysing things, you go into the abstract and you leave life behind. It doesn't make sense anymore.
So you would have learned theory, wouldn't you? Music theory.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So it's just
theory and.
I was just going to say,
since I left university as a lecturer, I've actually gone back to study music again, just after 15 years of not playing formally. I needed to refresh myself by studying music theory, going back to piano and guitar again. And yet I've learnt that in the modern era, as Michael Matthews, who's doing fantastic work for us with his media connections, has pointed out to me, you know, it's probably, we're back to the era of the 3 to 3.5 minute song, where you compact everything that you are and that you know, and stop trying to be a virtuoso, not that I can be, but you know, sometimes I aspire to be, and let a simple message speak richly to people.
I was going to say, it's interesting about theory, because I always go back to the Beatles, but McCartney was asked once, is it true that none of the Beatles can read or write music? He said, yes, that's true. And they said, well, you've got time now, why don't you learn music theory? And he said, in his case, he said, I don't want to, because I'm scared it'll ruin my creativity. So I suppose for him, he'd just rather muck around on the piano without maybe thinking, oh, I can't play a G minor here or a C minor here because it crosses the pentatonic scale or something or other. You know what I mean? So I suppose different people have a different attitude. But the good thing is, with piano, you can just hit one, you can get a note out of it with just one finger. So it's a great instrument, isn't it, the piano?
It is my favourite instrument, though. In order to sing, I'm finding that I don't feel good enough to play piano and sing at the same time. I find the complexity of the fingering for different interesting chords makes it difficult not to be staring at the keys. It's much easier to play rhythm guitar and just sing, or perhaps one day even people have been suggesting for a while, why don't you just stop playing and just sing? Because it is true that when you sing without playing, an interesting emotionality emerges from your voice, and you start to move, and that physical movement also elicits a different way of expressing the notes, and you carry over, almost like soul singers or funk singers or jazz singers, you carry the notes all over the place, whereas you can't do that when you're playing. In fact, you actually depend on counting in your head as you're strumming.
Yeah,
and that sometimes makes you a metronomic kind of singer.
Mm.
Yeah, guitar is much easier.
I suppose it makes sense because I don't know how the brain works, but I suppose if you're playing guitar or piano and singing, the brain's got to sort of be a little bit divided between, oh, right, I've got to play this chord, now I've got to sing this note, whereas if it's just you with a microphone, you're completely free to, like you say, express your emotions and just focus on your voice.
That's right. It's a bit like having one girlfriend.
But like
instead of, you know, trying to play the field. Girlfriend instead of trying to play the field. Yeah. It starts to get too complicated.
Yeah. I don't have a girlfriend. I've got a wife. Anyway.
I've got a wife too. That's what's really complicated.
Now, regarding your new song, A Girl, A Picture in a Wall, there's a bit of a strange story behind the lyrics. So can you tell us about that one?
Yeah. When my son was hitting his teens, and I'd already started to work part-time at uni, because I said to my wife, look, I want to help raise the kids and I'm happy to, we'll follow your career. She's a lawyer, she's in the legal area,
okay.
And you're earning more than me anyway, and I want to have fun with the kids. At some point or other, there was this day when I was feeling a bit down. I'm always up and down like a roller coaster. I sat in his room after I put clothes away in his wardrobe, and I noticed that there seemed to be posters of girls on the walls, but also inside the wardrobe.
Okay.
I think there was one of Kylie Minogue in shorts, another girl called Fernanda who'd been pumping iron, picture of Gillian Anderson as well, got a song about her. Beautiful girls. And I thought, oh my God, this guy's evolving. It's a guy, it's not a kid anymore.
Oh, okay.
It's a boy starting to be a young man. And I don't know, I felt like I was losing something of myself, my own a naivety that somehow I could live with and through him, and I realised, no, he's living his own life. And that sort of depressed me, but there are other issues below the surface. So I just sat there and started drinking, which I do not ordinarily do except when I'm quite unhappy, and then I'm liable to get drunk and then regret it later. And, yeah, the lyrics, at least, for the song started coming out, and then I just grabbed the guitar and played something to it. And then, of course, when I sobered up later, I continued with it, and it was live and fresh in my mind, so it wasn't too hard to do. Because when I do a song, I just go full bore until I collapse, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently it's been well-received in Italy. Is that right?
Yeah. I went to the UK after writing quite a few record labels in 2015, and met a few people, for example, at Notting Hill Music. I think they'd worked with the Beatles too, and there was interest in the music, but they said, will you be over here? And I thought, probably not. So I came back to Australia. It was sort of combined, my wife and I, with a holiday in Italy, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to try and base myself in Italy, because I felt that Europe was a good place for us. So I wrote to a whole lot of labels there, went over the following year in 2016, about 10 or so out of the 60 got back to me, and 3 or 4 had some proposals, but one of them suddenly produced 20 pages of contracts. I was up in the Abruzzo, in the mountainous areas on the Adriatic side where my wife is originally from, and just having a coffee, I thought, wow, and I showed this to a few of the other people, and I said, sounds good, man, in Italian. And so I started negotiating with them, signed contracts for 2 CDs, which turned out to be EPs, and A Girl, A Picture of a Wall was the first one, and we've redone the song now. We've re-edited it and made it more radio-friendly. But that really rocketed us to the top of the charts in Italy.
Wow.
And that first CD, the 4 singles that were released, did really, really well, and I've got 4 sort of photographic pages of reviews that were very flattering and even made ridiculous. And I was saying to somebody the other night, comparisons to really great bands like Australian bands like INXS, Nick Cave, AC/DC, completely out of our league and different styles.
Yeah.
This band here could possibly, if they keep at it, one day get to that kind of level.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, who cares anyway? I'm just loving it. So
yeah,
it did well in Italy, and the second EP has done well too. But I realised that I really want to try and crack it here in Oz.
Hmm. Yeah, sure. Well, apparently you're preparing your first full album due for release later this year?
Yeah, later this year or the very beginning of next year. Just going on through the whiteboard at the tonight again, just looking at the 20 songs I've listed.
Wow.
The guitarist and I, David, have been working through them. About seven of them, we already play them with the guys, with Rick and Mauro, when we do gigs. But the other 13 or so, as soon as the virus lets us out of its grip, we'll get back to playing and not just sort of being in touch via Skype or FaceTime. You know.
Yeah, it's a tough time, but we'll all get there. I think the music is very helps us get through it too. You know, those of us who love music, just put on some nice music and takes you away. But look, before we finish up, I was just going to tell you a quick story. You mentioned, you know, we were talking about band names before, and this is a funny story. I'm a huge fan of David Gates. I just think he's one of the best ballad singers of all time, a great composer and all the rest of it. Anyway,
Bread,
yep, the brains, the front guy.
Great band. Right?
But his voice is amazing. But anyway,
beautiful.
I heard him interviewed many, many years ago, and this is the funny story, retrospectively. They were asking him about the name Bread, and this is what he said. He said, we're sitting in the front room of my parents' place, and we're trying to work out what will we call the band, and one of us said, let's name the band by the next truck that goes past with a name on the side, right? And so this band, he said, this truck went past, and it was had to do with bread. So we called it Bread. And then he said, imagine if it had been the garbage truck, ha, ha, ha. And then years later, a band came out called Garbage. So I'm sure he had a good laugh at that.
Oh, they are a great band. She's a great singer in Garbage.
Oh, I know, but I just thought his story, he must have had a good laugh when he heard that, here's a song by a band called Garbage.
But I do believe in kind of the providential nature of coincidence.
Okay.
I think it's often, if you don't pay attention to life that's going on around you all the time, you don't notice the patterns, and you think, what a funny, odd coincidence that such and such happened. But it's actually going on all the time.
Mm.
And that's, I think, what we sometimes call destiny.
Okay.
And I think in a funny way there is some kind of plan running all the time, like a matrix that we're in. And you can read it if you can understand the algorithms.
Mm.
Sometimes it's just visual, but it's like that truck going past.
Yeah.
It says Bread just when you're asking, as it were, for a name that's interesting. And
yes.
Bread? It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's like the crimson ink. Ink, yeah.
We stirred it for
Where did
years.
He get that from?
Where did he get it from? We said, sound waves. We're waiting for him to turn up with that sound waves written on the drum, but nah. It was crimson ink. Anyway, funny.
Yeah.
All right, well, look, we've got to go, but Walter, thank you very much for your time, and we're going to go out with a girl, a picture, a wall, and great song, and good luck with the rest of the career. It sounds as though you guys are really going to take off. You've already taken off in Italy, so it's just up to Australia now to catch up.
That's right, and good luck in Sydney.
Oh, thank you.
Whatever you do, Mr. Adventure.
Yeah, thank you. All the best, and thanks for
the
time.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
I would like to point out that Walter did mention Michael Matthews, and I want to put a special thank you to Michael, because Michael, I don't know why he hasn't been given an Australian Day honour, because for decades, Michael has been promoting Australian talent. He discovered Savage Garden, Killing Heidi, and a truckload of other artists, and everyone from Brian Cadd. He's brought all these people into my show in the last 22 years, ranging from Brian Cadd to Glenn Shorrock to all sorts of local artists, and he's just amazing. He's, I reckon, the best music promoter in Australia. A lot of musicians owe their career to Michael. So, Michael, and thank you, Michael, for coming onto my show across the 22 years as a regular guest. And he's a great guy, too.
Sailor man, walking the planks of your dreams, baby man. said, why?